ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 1 दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द बिहेवियर ऑफ अ परफेक्ट पर्सन श्री नारद उवाच कल्पस्त्व एवं परिव्रज्य देहमात्रावशेषितः ग्रामैकरात्र विधिना निरपेक्षश्चरेन्महे श्रीना ट्रांसलेशन श्री नारद मुनि सेड पर्सन एबल टू कल्टिवेट स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज should renounce all material connections and merely keeping the body inhabitable, he should travel from one place to another, passing only one night in each village. In this way, without dependence in regard to the needs of the body, the sannyasi should travel all over the world. There is no purport. We will keep reading till we have purport. Vibhryad yad aso vasaha कौपिनाच्छादनं परं त्यक्त्वं न लिंगाद् दण्डादेर् अन्यत् किञ्चित् अनापदि. A person in the renounced order of life may try to avoid even a dress to cover himself. If he wears anything at all, it should be only a loincloth. And when there is no necessity, a sannyasi should not even accept a danda. A sannyasi should avoid carrying anything but a danda and kamandalu. एक एव चरे भिक्षुर आत्मा रामो नपाश्रयः सर्वभूत सृच्छान्तो नारायण परायण. The sannyasi, completely satisfied in the self, should live on alms begged from door to door. Not being dependent on any person or any place, he should always be a friendly well-wisher to all living beings and be a peaceful, unalloyed devotee of Narayan. In this way, he should move from one place to another. Pashyad atmani ado vishvam pare sad asado vyaye atmanam cha param brahma sarvatra sad asanmaye. The sannyasi should always try to see the supreme pervading everything and see everything, including this universe, resting on the supreme. Supti prabhodhavyo sandhav atmano gatim atmadrik pashyan bandham cha moksham cha maya matram na vastuta. During unconsciousness and consciousness, and in between the two, he should try to understand the self and be fully situated in the self. In this way, he should realize that the conditional and liberated stages of life are only illusory and not actually factual. With such a higher understanding, he should see only the absolute truth pervading everything. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The unconscious state is nothing but ignorance, darkness or material existence. Or in the conscious state, one is awake. The marginal state between consciousness and unconsciousness has no permanent existence. Therefore, one who is advanced in understanding the self should understand that unconsciousness and consciousness are but illusions, for they fundamentally do not exist. Only the Supreme Absolute Truth exists, as confirmed by Lord in Bhagavad Gita. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina Mastani sarva bhutani nachaham teshu avastitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Everything exists on the basis of Krishna's impersonal feature. Nothing can exist without Krishna. Therefore, the advanced devotee of Krishna can see the Lord everywhere without illusion. Narad Muni said, so this is Narad Muni speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, and also Sugadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. What Narad Muni is speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though Parikshit is about to leave this world within few days, or maybe 1 or 2, 3 days more, but still, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking about perfect behavior. And also, Parikshit Maharaj in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes very nicely. He says that even though Parikshit Maharaj had given up, he had given up all his connection to the family and to the kingdom and his position, still Parikshit Maharaj was very careful. And he writes, Parikshit had given up all connection with his kingdom, family, the most attractive feature of materialism, but still he was conscious of his material body. He wanted to be freed from bondage by constant association. Very interesting point, that Parikshit Maharaj was already given up everything. What to speak of giving up kingdom? Ultimately, if you don't have kingdom, at least you need food and water. Even that he had given up for the last few days. But still Prabhupada says he was conscious of his body. That is the power of bodily concept of life. The power of bodily concept of life is so deep rooted, one cannot with all one's endeavor, with one's own effort, which we have to do, we have to continue doing it, but still, one cannot overcome it. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is seeking shelter, which he had already decided a few days back, the shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, the Krishna factor, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's doing in our life is extremely important. Like when we perform austerities, sometimes there is a tendency that this austerity will purify me. Like someone was saying that there is a community. They consider that nobody is responsible to purify me. Only myself, I have to take the task. And they go through rigorous austerities. And unfortunately, there is no concept of Supreme God. They consider that simply by performing great austerity, putting the body into great troublesome situation, I can actually purify. This is not Vaishnavism. Vaishnavism, the most important connection is the Lord. When I am connected to Krishna and follow the instructions of the Lord, my endeavor and plus the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only factor which will purify. Therefore, here Parikshit Maharaj is hearing from Shukadeva Goswami the four orders of life. And if you study, as Rishabhanupu was also mentioning about Vanaprastha life, before there was a Grahastha life and there was Brahmacharya life, and here Prabhupada divides this chapter and makes a special category for sannyas, that the behavior of a perfect person, a sannyas order of life. When we read this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it sounds extremely difficult to execute. Like in the Brahmacharya section, it is that the Brahmacharya should wear a deer skin, tie a kusha grass, and carry a small danda. People carry a jump stick now. You be dry. So he has to carry danda, and he should not eat unless called by the spiritual master. And if the spiritual master forgets to call, he should forego his meal. So many rules are there. And if you study Vanaprastha life, nobody wants to be Vanaprastha. Because Vanaprastha, first thing is, he cannot attend any social function. He cannot. And plus, he cannot eat food cooked in the home. He has to go to the forest, and only which is left over by the farmer in the field, he has to collect that. And what to speak of a sannyasi? He can't stay one place even one day. Only one night. And next day, however good that place is, And you can't decide. You can't send a advance notice, prepare my room and all the facilities should be there. You can't, you don't know where you are going. You just bump into a place, traveling, moving about, charanti. Charanti is just like a goat which moves without knowing where it will go, without knowing where the grass will get, where the grass it will get, but keeps on moving. Similarly, a sannyasi fully conscious of Krishna, and he moves about without preparing anything and does not stay in any place more than one day. As Prabhupada said, I got so many temples, but I can't stay more than 3 days in any place. He kept on moving from one place to another place. That is the perfect life. Now, these austerities are sanctioned in the Shastra based upon the advancement of a person. Because bhakti is not to create a burden. Bhakti, rules of bhakti, is not there to create burden in our life. Oh, one more thing I have to do. Krishna does not come in our life to cause, you know, burden. He comes in our life to free us from all kind of burden. The burden of this material body, the burden of the mind, the burden of contaminated intelligence, what to speak of the burden of false ego. And all connected to these elements. They're very burdensome, very difficult to bear. So therefore, when Krishna comes in our life, when we start practicing devotional service, then being renounced to things becomes very easy. Renouncing things, if you tell somebody, sometimes people don't want to hear, and we don't speak also. A mature devotee, an intelligent devotee does not tell the rules and regulation in the very first day when he meets an aspiring candidate for devotional service. He doesn't say, stop drinking your tea. That is the last day we'll come to the temple. Because how can I give up tea? I can give up my life, but not tea. Like someone, one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple had gone to northeast to preach. And he was preaching. And the king said, Bhagavad Gita mentions about chai. Sarvasya chaham. See? The Puri Maharaj is saying, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto. You are so attached to this tea that it is there in your heart. So how can I give up? It is explained in the Gita. And who said? Some Sanskrit Pandit told him. What to speak of chai in the Bhagavad Gita? Chai was not in India also. Chai was introduced by the Britishers. Now people can't give up, can't stay without it. So when there is a higher taste, then naturally these things become very insignificant. Many people, even my own experience, when I gave up tea first time, I had a severe, massive headache. I felt, how will I survive for the rest of my life without tea? But then, it's all concoction. Here, in the next verse, Shukadeva Goswami explains to Parikshit Maharaj, he said, one should not give importance to death or living. He said, one should observe the eternal time factor. Just see every word of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you just meditate and analyze even one sentence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it can free us from all illusion. The whole materialistic society is so focused on death and living. When someone is dying, people are so concerned that get all the relatives, as if the relatives are going to do something to the person who is dying. And the person who is dying, he is inviting everybody, please come, please come. Invite this person, invite that person, I have to see their face. Is it as if this face is the face of Krishna? Neither the person who is seeing the body and the person who is seeing the body of living people have absolutely no benefit at all. It is nothing but simply a good feeling on the mundane platform without absolutely no benefit. Absolutely no benefit. Therefore, the Shastras recommend for someone who is in the renounced order, do not see the dead body, it is inauspicious. Shastra explains. So, here Shukadeva Goswami explains, because he is in the renounced order of life, and he can speak very bluntly to Parikshit Maharaj, You know, the death of Parikshit Maharaj, waiting for seventh day, that was the news of the world. Entire sages had come there, more than thousands of sages had gathered there to see Parikshit Maharaj. The whole kingdom was there. It was the news of the three worlds. What to speak of sages? Even the demigods came looking for Parikshit Maharaj. And Shukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj, he said, do not give any importance to death. Death is not important. Living is not important. What is important is the time factor. Just see how time factor is moving about. The time factor is moving. So here, because Parikshit Maharaj, by the grace of his grandfathers, the Pandavas, had the power to attract the blessings of Shukadeva Goswami and other great sages. And therefore he said, I am not attached to drinking, sleeping and eating, but still I am very conscious of my body. I am very conscious of my body. And therefore, my dear master, do not stop speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Continue speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, it's very interesting. Sadhana Bhakti involves conscious discipline, and devotional service involves no consciousness of any discipline. If you are doing devotional service, you don't have to be conscious. Like we discussed, that some community, they are very, their whole focus is to remember how many hairs I pulled out, how many austerities I did, how many days austerities I performed. But in Vaishnavism, such austerity is not at all recommended. What is more important is that being attached to Krishna. And when we become attached to Krishna, our Krishna conscious activity, like our Sri Anandpur was mentioning recently, that he was in Rajasthan and he visited one family, very aristocratic, rich family. And they have a daughter, she's 11 years old. And this girl, he said, you know, her parents take her to Goshala to take care of the cows. Because Rajasthan people, if you go Rajasthan, any villages, you'll find people give so much of importance to taking care of cows. In fact, Krishna is glorified. Go Brahmana Hitaya cha, Jagad Hitaya cha, Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Nama. Mahabharata defines Golok as the place where unlimited cows are there. Like I remember, one time Radhananda Maharaj told Devamra Prabhu, he said, if you don't take care of cows, there is no question of going back to Godhead. Because there is no management in the spiritual world. Only management in the spiritual world is that you milk the cows and take care of the cows. So, this girl became so attracted to cows. And seeing their requirements, their needs, natural, nobody told her, she stopped eating chocolate. Now, eating chocolate or not eating chocolate is a big deal of discussion within our society. Is it bona fide to eat or is it not bona fide? Now, this 11-year-old, she considered that eating chocolate. Now, whatever money her parents had to give for chocolate, she doesn't eat. She collects it and gives as a grass to the cow. Just see. It doesn't require a discussion. And not only that, he was mentioning, he visited their family. They're rich. So people come to give them gifts on her birthday. And she tells them in advance, if you want to bring any gifts to me, don't bring any gift. Any money you want to spend on my gift, give that much money to me. I will give it to the Goshala. And not only that, her parents take her to different places, you know, as a the vacation. And she told, this year, no vacation for me. All that money I want, I'm going to give it to the cows. Sometime, a devotee is out of their naive sentiments. They bring sannyasi's raven glass. What sannyasi has to do with raven glasses? What a sannyasi has to do with very posh, you know, wrist watches? They don't wear. But still, a person who gives a gift, I remember one devotee told me, he said, I gave to Maharaj, you know, and he doesn't wear only. I said, come on, why did you give in the first place? Wasted your money and wasted his place also. So in this way, we see that very interesting phenomena. So these four orders of brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha and sannyas, it is not the austerity which is important, which is described here. It is not the cloth which brahmachari is wearing, the tree bark. It is the life of simplicity which is most important. Because only when one becomes selfless, Tamoharpa was giving lecture in Mayapur, and he said they have conducted survey, and the survey says it is not the material acquisition gives you happiness. What gives pleasure is that when you start living for others. Bhakti is all about living for Krishna. And that was the trouble in Bhagavad Gita in the first chapter between Arjuna and his service to Krishna. He wanted to live for himself. Noble cause. Arjuna's thoughts were so noble and so deep. We were discussing yesterday. He was thinking about the immediate consequences, about his pleasure with his family members. He was thinking about the future consequences, and he was able to think about the future destination also. Everything was dark because of this battle. But Krishna saw good arguments, but very selfish arguments. I want to be nice. No, that is not bhakti. In bhakti, you have to live according to the desires of the other person. That other person is Krishna. Does he sanction what he is thinking? Sanjay is thinking, very good. Tam tata krupaya vishtam ashrupurna kulekshanam. He told Dhritarashtra, my dear Dhritarashtra, Arjuna full of compassion. Krupaya avishtam, because of full of compassion towards his own soldiers and the soldiers of Kuru army, he stopped speaking, and then Krishna started speaking. And how does Krishna say? Krishna, kutastva kashmalamidam. What is considered as compassion by Arjuna and Sanjay, Krishna says contamination. It's a dirt. Where did you get this dirt from? Kutastva kashmalamidam. Vishame samupastitam. Anaryam justam. He says this is uncivilized. Asavargyam does not lead to higher planets. Akirtikaram, it will bring only infamy. Klaibhyam masmagamam partha. Two words Krishna spoke before Arjuna again presented his argument. And both are, he did not follow any management system. First find out the good, appreciate first, and then speak the bad. No, not only he said, he did not follow this principle, he said, Klaibhyam masmagamam partha. I said, you hijda? Actually that word, Klaibhyam means, if you translate in Hindi, that means eunuch. And that's what Krishna is telling Arjuna. And eternally it is there in the Bhagavad Gita. The bad word given by Krishna to Arjuna. What is glorified in the material world, from Krishna's point of view, is the greatest contamination. Why? Because the principle of what I think, what is good for me, is involved there. Therefore, someone is saying that when you say, I can do it, that is false ego. And when you say, I'm not going to do it, I can't do it, that is also false ego. Because ultimately, you can only act if the Lord is agreeing you to act. If the Lord does not allow you to act, all our senses within no time become inert. Within no time. Someone was saying that, you know, marriage took place, and right in the marriage ceremony, when they were taking that 7 pradakshina, the girl got stroke and she's bedridden last 2 years. Where is the enjoyment? This is material life. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, you cannot predict anything about material life. And Arjuna, because he was predicting, he was saying, how can I kill them? As if he is going to be victorious. That is a false ego. As if he is thinking that I'll wipe them all out, I'll be victorious. You could be killed, my dear Arjun. That is Krishna's point. Why do you take such a confidence in yourself that if I kill all of them, no sin will come upon me? No, there is no guarantee that you'll be victorious. Before even you kill one soldier, you may be killed. And this happened also when Arjuna went to Manipur to win wealth for his brother during the Ashwamedha sacrifice. His own son, Babruhan, he kills Arjuna, cuts off the head of Arjuna without Krishna. And Arjuna's body is lying there on the ground. And then because of Krishna's involvement, he gets back his body. So therefore, we see here that what Parikshit Maharaj has been presented by Shukadev Goswami, such a systematic manner, the four ashramas and four varanas, it is nothing but sacrifice. And what is the nature of sacrifice? Bhishmadev explains to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He says the essence of tyaga is happiness. You want to be happy in this world, there is no way to be happy unless the principle of sacrifice is followed. In any relationship, in any situation, if there is expectation of pleasure, and just see, people are so disturbed even by so insignificant thing. So insignificant thing in this world, they give so much of time. Gaur Gopalpur was saying about cosmetic industries. How many cosmetic items are there in the house of people, giving so much of importance to them? How much? 336 item. People's bathroom is decorated by 336 item. Either 30 or 36, it is too much. You can't decide, oh, 30 is less and 336 is more. In the Vedic system, you go to the river and you can't decorate your bathroom because there is no bathroom only. In Vedic system, both men and women would go to river. That means, what can you take there? Because the river is far away from your house. You don't take anything. You can't take newspaper when you are passing stool. Just see how Kali Yuga, we give importance to something which is absolutely not important at all. Absolutely not important. When we go to the West, we see the bathroom. We don't have that many lights in our altar. The toilets are decorated with so many lights. So much of waste of time. When you sit there, therefore Prabhupada, one time one yogini came to him. And she said, Swamiji, we want to have a peace conference. And Prabhupada had a very good time to attack her with her nonsense. He said, peace? What peace? He said, peace in this world? I said, who told you to have this peace conference? He said, having peace conference in this world is like trying to keep your toilet clean. What do you do there? You pass tool. Prabhupada was so blunt to her. He said, just finish your business. Do not try to do anything there other than do your business and get out. So this place you cannot make any peace. She was offended. Prabhupada said, I just spoke the truth. So the point is that people spend so much of time which is absolutely non-essential. Just decorating their nails, decorating their lips. So much of time is spent, it's like our Prahladanand Maharaj is saying. He said that is called as deity worship of a modern man. What is Ahangra Upasana? Decorate the deity. Wake up first. Uttishto, Jagrato. And then Sringar Darshan is there. Spend so much of time on that. Every part of the body. So here, Shukadeva Goswami, what is presenting can really cause shock waves in the life of materialistic people. But one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness or trying to be advanced in Krishna consciousness, he does not spend time in something which is not essential. And what does he do? Prabhupada explains, he spends time in studying Srimad Bhagavatam, in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Because only Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam can make us detach from this world. And what to what extent? Parikshit Maharaj did not give any attention to this body, but still he is saying, I am conscious of my material body. The connection with this material body, the feelings, it is very natural to feel attracted to the place of our birth. However much philosophy here, when you go to your own village, when you go to your hometown, there is a feeling, wow, right? You don't have to think about it. You don't have to analyze it because it is inbuilt. The conditioning is inbuilt. So how can something which is inbuilt can be destroyed by our endeavor? However hair you pull out of your body, however many days austerities you perform, it is just like trying to churn the water when you manthan, when you perform manthan of the water, what do you get? Nothing. Simply a hard labor. When you churn the water, there is nothing but hard labor. Therefore, when we invite Krishna, Krishna's devotional service in our life, then here, what happens? Then we see a change takes place. A powerful change takes place. People start changing. And you can't even imagine how that change has taken place. Our Premnidhi Prabhu was speaking about one personality. And he showed, just see the difference. Just few days back, this personality was totally different. And by practicing devotional service naturally there is such a difference in behavior. Why? Because there is a sincerity to follow the process of Krishna consciousness. Process of Krishna consciousness is different from performing austerity. Because austerity is too gruesome. There is no pleasure in austerity. It is intellectually painful, mentally painful, bodily painful. But bhakti is not like that. Bhakti is full of joy. When you spend time decorating the deities, you know, our devotees know, when you sit on the altar, the head puja has to come running. Come on, get down, get down. Now what is that taste? From a materialistic point of view, from an atheistic point of view, a person is spending his valuable time in decorating a statue, while he spends so much of time decorating his nail. He can't even say this much, okay, you have your taste in decorating the statue, I have my taste in decorating my nail. He has the audacity and arrogance to say, why spend so much of time in worshipping statue? Just see, even if you are so materialistic, at least say, you have your taste there, I have my taste here. No, it is not like that. When we worship the deities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, such a worship, in some places, a pujari, when he gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning, he has to stay in the altar till 9 to 10. Now, he doesn't have to think that I have to respond to the nature call. There is no such thought. He is totally absorbed in serving Krishna. He is not thinking, I have to eat my food. Just like we go and see in Udupi, they worship the Lord, the sannyasis, for 2 years non-stop every day. And otherwise also, when they are supposed to worship the Lord, they come there at 4 o'clock in the morning, take their bath in the water body, in that lake, and come to the altar and stay there till 10 o'clock. Now, this is not austerity for them. This is pleasure. All their 16 years they are waiting just to get their turn. I have to do this. You know, that is my pleasure. So that is the difference between simply doing austerity without Krishna involved and as a byproduct austerity taking place because you are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a difference is there. And there is such a smiling face. And then again fast. Every Ekadashi they fast. Total nirjal. Sometimes we wait, Ekadashi kab aa raha hai bhi? Not because Ekadashi is coming, but we have to stop eating grains. Some people, they are saying, only difficulty in ISKCON is fasting. Because you don't like Ekadashi Prasad. And therefore many devotees fast on Ekadashi because they don't like Ekadashi Prasad. They do nirjal. Why? Because the Ekadashi food is too difficult to digest or too difficult to taste. So this is how we understand from this four ashrams and varna, when there is a natural attraction for the Lord, as Parikshit Maharaj had, as Prahlad Maharaj had, as Narad Muni had, Yudhishthira Maharaj had. Just see their family, the Pandavas' family is so great. If we study scrutinizingly life of the Pandavas, when Krishna went back to the spiritual world, they did not express any attraction even for one extra moment. Now, nobody told Yudhishthira Maharaj, quit everything. When he came to know that Lord has gone back to the spiritual world, instantly he didn't wait. He didn't tell Arjun, Yudhishthira, Nakul, Sahadev, Draupadi and Bhima, I'm going now. You take care of your kingdom. You know, see that somebody is installed properly. He just walked away, taking his danda in his hand. He did not even look back. And Mahabharata tells the story when each of the Pandavas were falling. And Yudhishthira is walking and they are asking, why did Nakula fall? Why did Sahadev fall? Why did Draupadi fall? Fall means they were quitting their body in the middle. That's one version of the story. And Yudhishthira Maharaj did not even look back. Oh, my wife has fallen. Oh, my brothers have fallen. Now, this is not artificial. There is a responsibility for somebody who is not advanced like that. That is a sign of negligence. If somebody is in difficulty and you don't look and you use excuse of Krishna consciousness when you are not Krishna conscious, then you are offensive in two ways. That you are acting as if you are Krishna consciousness when you are not, that is hypocrisy, and not taking the responsibility of your duties. That is foregoing your responsibility. But Yudhishthira Maharaj is not like that. He was so advanced, it became so natural for him, we can appreciate that renunciation. And he kept on walking. He kept on walking. And he reached the highest destination. Of course, all the Pandavas also reached highest destination by their own merit also, because of their attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, difficult to understand, difficult to execute. But if we see in the underlying principle here, all this is possible if there is a connection to Krishna's devotional service. Chanting, hearing, and we have seen in this very place, when during the festivals, when the katha is going on, you know, when Maharaj Radhanand Maharaj speaks 4 hours, 5 hours, that is his greatness, his ability to speak 5 hours, but it is equally the greatness of devotees. Many devotees have the ability to hear for that long hours. And sometime when there is less time, if you only speak 1 or 2 hours, so many devotees come and tell, oh, why that was a short class? What will you do now next? So that is the ability of an advanced devotees who are sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness. They can actually transcend the time factor. They can transcend the bodily necessities of life. I remember in 1996, our devotees were doing book distribution in VT station. It was a special occasion, and the devotees had taken a decision that we are not going to come back. They went from here at 5 in the morning and they came back 11 o'clock in the night. Usually we have shifts, but this group of devotees went to VT station, and morning to night they must have taken few morsels of food and they kept on distributing books. When they came back at 11 o'clock, it was as if they have just taken morning bath and fresh to begin their day. There was so much of joy. There was so much of happiness. Why? Because they fulfilled their quota, what they had decided themselves. And had so many experiences of meeting people and interacting with them, giving Prabhupada's books. And those interactions were their nourishment. The target which they had put, they fulfilled it. That was their nourishment. And fulfilling their decision, morning till 11 o'clock we will stay there. So when they had done all these three things, when they came back, I can never forget that scene. They were full of bliss. And this is what Krishna consciousness can do. Even for a most neophyte devotee, if he comes in contact with the process of Krishna consciousness, because the process of Krishna consciousness is non-different from Krishna. Chanting is not some austerity which will give us Krishna. Chanting is Krishna. Bhagavatam is not process which will give Krishna. Bhagavat itself is Krishna. DT, it is not a process which will achieve Krishna, but DT itself is Krishna. DT is Krishna, like Prabhupada told. Somebody asked him, somebody was giving a talk. He said, Krishna in his DT. Prabhupada said, in which part of his DT? Prabhupada said, no, Krishna is DT, non-different. Tirtha, the holy place of the Lord, it is not that it is something to achieve something. The holy place is non-different from Krishna. So when you are actually associating with Krishna, with the process of Krishna consciousness, and therefore Prabhupada says, the neophyte devotee sometime, he says, I want to see Krishna face to face. He says that is a materialistic devotion. That is a materialistic consciousness. Because bhakti and the process of bhakti and Bhagwan cannot be differentiated. There is no difference. When such consciousness is there, as here Prabhupada explains, then devotee of the Lord develops this ability. Then he can see Krishna in good times, he can see Krishna in bad times, and he can see Krishna in between these two also. That is the power of devotional service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comment?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the very nice class. Like you said, if the Lord is allowing you to act, you can do something. Now, we are all going out and preaching, and we're trying to bring as many people to the lotus feet of Gurudev. Some devotees may not like me asking this question, but I want to ask this question in front of Srila Prabhupada and the DTs here. There are these seven, eight children, who've been coming to our temple from the time of Julan Yatra. They do not ask for free prasad, but they're very happy to come here, take darshan, listen to Krishna Katha that I'm giving them. And for some reasons, they are being stopped coming to our temple. This is one part. Secondly, I'm going out, I'm preaching to some fisherwomen, and it scares me now to get them to our temple because they might be stopped to come here to our mandir. So this is one part. And secondly, I understand from the security point of every temple that, I mean, you know, people have to be stopped if they're not, if they are like terrorists or they are like just coming to eat free food or, you know, something like that. But this is not what Gurudev has taught us. Can you please tell us where we have to go and preach, or is there a certain class that we have to go and preach to get them to the temple? Because if I'm wrong, please correct me.
This is a managerial question. But the principle is that I remember when Radha Gopinath Prabhu used to go to all these areas when with our medical van in 88, 89, 90. Of course, they are still doing in all the suburbs of Mira Road and other parts. He would go. Quite amazing, because that was his service for 3 years. Then they shifted to Mira Road and the medical devotees were doing in those areas. He would go to all the slum area, especially in Thursday, Kulaba area, fisherman's colony. He comes from an Iyengar family, Sri Vaishnav family. You know, never ever had the experience of eating meat and going into their colony. And it would be so transcendental, it would be jumping over the dry fish. Because, you know, some season, just before the rainy season, because they don't, fishermen don't go to collect fish during the rains, because it could be risky. But still, they are so conditioned to eat fish. Isn't right? Just see how people, how human society has a natural intelligence to prepare everything for their future sense gratification. But I cannot give it up. I have to eat it. So he'd be jumping around, doing his Harinam with few people and preach Krishna consciousness there. And then he would give Harinam, give Prasad. And he started inviting some people from there also to the temple. Now Krishna consciousness is not barred to anybody. Everybody is supposed to take to devotional service. We cannot say, okay, you can practice devotional service and you cannot practice devotional service. It is not there. But then what actually does is that the natural tendency, the natural distinction is there on the mundane platform, which we cannot avoid. It is not possible. What is that natural distinction? You know, clean people, unclean people. Rich people, poor people. Educated people, uneducated people. The problem, even on the platform of devotional service, on the platform of devotional service, there is no distinction. But on the platform of social structure, there is a distinction. And the social structure continue to exist. However much we try to wipe it out. The example is given the communist. They try to create a structure that nobody is superior or nobody inferior. But the secretary, the president of a communist country has a greater facility, believe it or not. He has the special facilities. His government will have special facilities. They may say and create some equality amongst general people, but they are also general people become journal. They become the boss of the country. There's a distinction. So this distinction cannot be avoided on the social system. So when it was discussed with the authorities, they say, what is our target? Where we want to preach at this place? Like in our wada, in our village preaching, our whole target is to please preach to the Adivasis. We have our place in Kolhapur near Radhanagari, you know, which is Venu Mahadevi project. What is it? That project is targeted towards preaching to people, those who have never seen cities also. They live in the forest. Absolutely, they have nothing but forest dwelling. Now, if we take rich people from here to those places and show their wealth, what does it do? It simply causes contamination in the heart of these poor people. They feel, oh, I wish I could have this. Therefore, this whole structure of mundane civilization, everybody should get everything. Television going in a remote village in India, such a violence. I was in one village near Latur. Actually, it was a shack. It was covered with burlap bags and they have put some tin. Absolutely nothing in that village, but there was a television. And what does he see in the television? He sees New York City. Nice houses in New York. How can he live a peaceful life sitting there? Simply expecting, oh, wish I had a house like this. Sometime information without proper understanding is a violence towards people. One has to understand this. Therefore, here at Radha Gopinath Temple, we are situated in South Bombay. And because being situated in South Bombay, naturally people who are educated, little well-to-do people, when they come here, then it is, one has to understand. What should be the culture? If you try to, you know, if you try to become too inclined towards preaching to such people, and they're seeing, just like in our Gurukul also, we had orphanage here, which is still existing, Gurukul. And because they were living here, they would come from a small village. It's a real story, and we have dealt with so many children, they were from small village. They would come to Bombay city, and thousands of our devotees would be coming and they would interact. You know, sometime people, they would give them skating board. Now they have never seen skateboard. And these children, village children, are doing that skateboard. They are playing all sophisticated games and interacting with rich people. Then what happened? Because their intelligence, some of them, they never could grow up. Their ability was either become a farmer or do some occasional training and go back to your village. But because they become conditioned, many of them, to stay in city, village life became very difficult. But they couldn't make it up in the city life. You know, they couldn't survive, but city life, they were conditioned. So what we were doing? We were not doing any good for them. We were only causing harm to their life. Then some boys, such a nice boys, they decided to clean the pots in a restaurant. Can you think it's a good thing to do? They have good nice farms in their village. They can grow nice vegetable, fruits, fresh rice and grains and enjoy life. But because they were conditioned here, they couldn't go back. They were willing to wash pots but not go to village. Do you think it is a good thing? And therefore, when we shifted our school there, now you see the children, they are not connected to this dirty city, polluted city. They may be poor, but their life is so luxurious. Same morning they get up at 4 o'clock. 4:30 they get up, chant their, come for Mangal Aarti, and then they chant shlokas, they do yoga. Such a regulated lifestyle. And our own children living in Bombay, they are eating bread in one hand, their mother is tying shoes with another hand. Right in the corner near the shoe rack, the son or daughter is eating a bread and jam. Not cooked by the mother but bought from a shop. Is it a luxurious life? Wealth is there but the facility is not there. Even our own children. This is not eating. I remember one time I was eating in Vrindavan, some prasad, standing and eating. One Brijbasi came, I said, "Tu kya janwar hai? Keval janwar log khade hoke khate hai." He said, bait jao, bait ke khao. Bhagwan ka bhog, Bhagwan ka prasad hai. Dekha hai kabhi aadmi log khate samay, keval janwar khate. He had no relationship with me. But he was a Brijbasi, he had a right to blast. And he took full advantage of that. I can never forget it. This was my first Vrindavan Yatra. First Vrindavan Yatra, I could never forget it. So when I go to Vrindavan, extremely careful. Habit is there of eating and standing, but extremely careful. No, don't do it like that. But these children, you'll never see them eating while standing. They will sit. Hare Krishna. So therefore, one has to see where someone flourishes nicely. That is our interest. Our interest is right understanding, to see that where people flourish. One should not be materially sentimental and feel, oh, this is the place they will also flourish. A rich person may not flourish in a place which is not favorable for him. And a poor person may not flourish in a nice place. You need to put them in the right place. If our understanding is very clear, and we see that our children, these children, I always tell I go to Gopal's garden every week. I tell them. And they know it very well. When they go to farm, their children tell Prabhuji, do not make us associate with these children because they'll get spoiled. Wo log kharab ho jayenge. Unka jeevan devo kitna achha hai. Every day they will sit and eat. When the children in the wada they are eating, even the brahmacharis can never follow this. When they eat, they don't talk. When they are eating, they don't talk. If they want anything more, they will raise their hands. So if you are developing that kind of discipline to them, it is not like a fish market or a vegetable market that everybody is speaking. Some child is reading shastra and others are eating silently, and if they want one chapati, they will raise their hand. They have some system, one finger, something, two finger, something else. And you take children from Bombay and, you know, we made them eat. Gurukulus were eating there and our children eating here. Because what is the habit in Bombay? You talk as much as possible, eat less. Then you eat all kinds of junk food. And they're very honest. Our children are very honest. Prabhuji, kya kare? Humko idhar rakha hai. To hamara yehi aadat hai. This is our habit. And these children, 4 o'clock, they play wrestling, kabaddi, khoko, swim in the river. Such a beautiful river is there, well is there. And then chant such nice shlokas. So, they are good in their place. They are prospering. And we tolerate this place. So one has to understand, one should not be sentimental in this regard. One should understand why it is done like that. One should not become a separatist in his actions in regards to how to preach Krishna consciousness. Everything is so designed, very systematically. When Maharaj told Radha Gopinath Prabhu, you know, you will not be able to preach to this people also who are coming, and seeing them, this people will also not come to the temple. So ultimately what you did a damage of not inspiring this crowd and not inspiring that crowd also. And that is a social system which can never be wiped out. It is not possible. Therefore, bhakti and the process of bhakti is not the sentimental one. It is full of sentiments, but it is not sentimental. It is full of profound philosophy. And nobody can argue about it. You know, we have all the complete detailed experiences, experiment of each child since 22 years. We can quote example of every child who stayed here. Unless he was brilliant, materially intelligent, he couldn't make it there in this world. But most children, when they come from that kind of background, you know, and then they're brought into city. Therefore, social seva, the samas seva which people do, without the profound philosophy of Krishna consciousness, simply causes difficulty. Like some people, you know, they do social service. But what is the social service? I used to go to orphanage in Mankurd. And where the nice people, Marwadis, giving food to these orphanage children. What they're eating? They're eating eggs. No, they're eating eggs. Now the person who is giving donation, he does not eat. But his donation is used to break the four regulatory principle. There is alternative for egg also. If you really worry about their nutrition values, there is something else. Give them idlis. Udad dal has got greater protein. Right. So in this way, anything you want to do to others, ask those who know it. If you are sentimental, then you become offensive. So one has to follow the system which has been established by the expert people for so many years. Ask, is it right thing I am doing? If it is not right, better don't do it. There is no need for us to become a separatist and do something. Everybody should be put in their place, and from their place it is guaranteed that they are prosperous and they are flourished. That is philosophy and it is also experience.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, this question is with regard to what you said about hypocrisy and doing your duties. What you mentioned was my understanding also. But I asked one very senior Vaishnav in our movement if our obligation to our families and our duties is directly proportionate to how sold out we are or how sincere we are. So, i.e., if we're completely sincere and completely Krishna conscious, to that degree we're not obliged. And if that's correct, if that relationship is there. And they said it's not correct. So I'm just trying to understand.
What is the last point he said?
It's not correct.
No, repeat the previous point.
That we are, my point was that we're obliged to the proportion to which we're Krishna conscious. So if we're not very Krishna conscious, then we're completely obliged to our family and so on. And to the degree that we're transcendental, then we're not. That's how we see in Shastra. But this senior Vaishnava said it's not like that. that we're, even if we, as long as we're engaged in service, even if we're not Krishna conscious, that Krishna conscious while we're doing it, it's okay to give up all, for example, family duties and so on.
Haribol, Mike.
To clarify, he's a very senior Vaishnava in our movement, and he's very learned and respected.
Again, because this is based upon one's conviction. That is the conviction of such a senior devotee, and absolutely it is the right principle. That we have seen how many of us we came to Krishna consciousness. There was no proportionately we were advanced and therefore we could renounce the family duties. Many of us we came to Krishna consciousness. At least I came to Krishna consciousness, the rebellion against the parents. By taking to Krishna consciousness, I knew that they'll become hurt. There's nothing connected to, I want to renounce my life, dedicate, serve Krishna, serve humanity. I told them, if you don't allow, I will do it. So that they'll be hurt. Just like the devotee children, they know, by not chanting, the parents will be hurt. They do like that. So my position was opposite. Chant Hare Krishna so that they'll be pained. Right. So, but still, because the connection continued to stay with devotional service and devotees, we could continue practice devotional service. But there is another principle also. If you see Prabhupada's own life, if you read, practical, how he dealt with his family. He told his devotees to take care of them. You know, he had a son who went little, he had a mental problem. And Prabhupada was very worried, even after being a sannyasi. There is a story when his family was in total disturbed condition. And he said, invite them to Mayapur. And somebody said, Prabhupada, people will say something. He said, no, there is an emergency. In emergency, the important principle is that it should be taken care. Shankaracharya, historical references are there. That he had told his mother, he took sannyas. And he said, whenever you need me, you call. Now that was the first time in the history. And who is Shankaracharya? He is not even practicing apparently Vaishnava Shastra. He preached Advaitavad. Advaitavad means everything is illusion. Your mother is illusion. Your father is illusion. There is a verse also. When the elephant was chasing him, he also started running away. He said, the elephant is mithya and my running away is also mithya. It's a very good philosophy to justify not doing any responsible work and also justify your sense gratification. But when his mother was passing, Shankaracharya was in such a distant place. He was in Sringeri and he came to his mother's place. And nobody was willing to perform cremation to her. And as a sannyasi, you are not obliged. But there is another principle of affection and love. So Shankaracharya alone, nobody was willing to do. He cut off the body of his mother, because alone how can he carry it? And someone helped him. And then he gave a cremation to his mother. So therefore, one is a philosophical understanding and one is a practical understanding also. What is the situation? The Pandavas were not obliged, only doing for Krishna, killing all those millions of soldiers. They killed on behalf of Krishna. But you go back and read the story in the Mahabharata, they still felt, I did not do my duty. And we were responsible for killing these people, and they did prayaschit also. Read the third cant of the Bhagavatam. Krishna is telling Vasudeva and Devaki as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, I did not take care of you. And I just left the village and I went to, with others, and please forgive me. And Prabhupada, it's a brilliant purport in the third canto. He said, one cannot avoid one's responsibility to one's members of family. And at the same time, one cannot give up the responsibility of the Supreme Father Krishna. Usually what people do, what this senior devotee is saying, In the name of responsibility to their family member, they stop all their devotional service. That is nonsense. And in the name of devotional service, people avoid their duties. One does not need to give up Krishna consciousness in the name of taking care of the parents. That is Maya. And one does not need to give up the affection to the parents in the name of devotional service. Even though devotional service is supremely highest, there is no need to remove them from your situation. Seventh canto Bhagavad, we just finished. Prabhupada explains that when a servant treats his master as supreme, he goes back to Godhead. A disciple treats his spiritual master as supreme, he achieves perfection. And a wife treats her husband as the supreme personality of Godhead, she goes back to Godhead. So these are, what people did in India. They did all materialistic activity. They said, no, parents' duty is important. And therefore, I'll not do devotional service. This is escapism. We have some wonderful devotees who are able to do both. And eventually we see many of our brahmacharis, ultimately when their parents need, one of our devotees, father was dying. Brahmachari, his father was dying and he had two other children. And he told his wife, that is the mother of this brahmachari, I said, you cannot get anything from your other sons. They are too absorbed in their family. They will not take care of you. They are controlled by their family member. They are not going to take, because if you come, you become a burdensome. He said, if you need anything, only your brahmachari son will take care. The father told his wife. And that's a reality. And this brahmachari had some piece of land left. Now the other brothers did not do anything to mother, and he actually sold whatever land he had. He paid for his mother, he took care. Did he do anything wrong? No, he did great thing. Another devotee told another brahmachari, he wanted to give everything to Krishna, and he joined the ashram. He was told by his spiritual master, he said, no, you have given your life, give your money to your parents. That is sufficient. They also need something. So, philosophically, what he says, we also practiced it, most of us. But at the same time, when there is a chance of escapism, that is very dangerous. I can use this philosophy, what the senior devotee said, to not fulfill my duties. It is better. Even as a brahmachari, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his mother, he said, my mother, if you want me to come back, I will give up my sannyas and come back. I'll come back. He said, I'll come back and just be with you. He told. Similarly, it is better for a brahmachari or sannyasi to feel that, parents, I did not take care of you, please forgive me, than to feel, I am doing service to Krishna, who cares for you? That is not a sign of a devotee. It is better to feel like that. That is very safe in our devotional service. To feel regret and continue doing your duty. Unless we develop that consciousness. Many of us, we have come to Krishna consciousness not at all with a higher understanding. We have come with a rebellious attitude. Being, arguing with the parents, dealing wrongly with them. So at least as a devotee, eventually we should feel that regret, without compromising our service to our mission. That is very beneficial. Otherwise, we always feel that we are very special. We are here as the saviors of the world. Next to Prabhupada only. We are the great acharyas. And if you see Prabhupada's life, he arranged a stipend for his family. Now from a sannyasi's point of view, if you read, that is not sanctioned. But if you see from a parampara point of view, Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya, absolutely devotee. That is the sign of a pure devotee. I think this is what my understanding is. No? Hare Krishna. We'll stop here. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shila Prabhupada ki.